Our assigned lectionary gospel reading from this day comes from Matthew, reading from the 11th chapter, starting at verse 28. These are the words ascribed to Jesus. "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Well, I hope all of you had a fun and meaningful and especially safe 4th of July. I had a wonderful day, which includes sharing dinner with Mark and Jonna Thurston at their home, along with Donna Wood and Deborah Hunter. And after dinner, we followed that with a rousing game of dominoes. Guess I'm now into that age bracket. Then it was down to the 21st Street Bridge over the Arkansas River for incredible bird's eye view of the city's remarkable fireworks display. I am one of those people, however, that sometimes have mixed feelings about this holiday. I'm indeed very proud of this country, blessed to be a U.S. citizen, grateful for all the accomplishments and achievements and advancements to the society that we have made. Yet with an eye and heart always seeking justice and fairness, I'm all too aware of our country's misgivings and mistakes, our obsession with the accumulation of wealth, our selfish individualism at the expense of the common good, and the prideful sense of superiority not just over other countries, but also over people of different nationalities. The irony, of course, is that except for our Native American population, our entire nation is made up of people originally from different countries and nationalities. So, as we rightfully celebrate the freedoms and liberties that we enjoy in the USA, our creeping nationalism is indeed troubling to me. And also ironic is that as we celebrate our own historic immigration into this country, we are so troubled now by the influx of others. Yes, I am fully aware that we are a country of laws, and that we seek for those laws to be followed and enforced. Yet as we remind ourselves this weekend of the Statue of Liberty's famous message, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses longing to be free," we are fighting a very broken immigration system that many of the members of our U.S. Congress just refuse to deal with, perhaps primarily because it might hurt their chances of getting reelected. Again, a selfish stance that spits in the face of the common good. Now, I'm sure you're all aware of the latest battle lines, and I say that almost literally, forming over the huge current influx of refugees from Central America, mostly young women and their children. True, they have been crossing our borders illegally, and that must be addressed. But these folks have come because of a humanitarian crisis in other countries. There is something horrific going on in Central America, though most of us aren't really aware of just what that is. But it's causing tens of thousands to make the dangerous and very expensive 1,000-mile journey to escape threatening circumstances in their home country. So we are facing, at our very borders, perhaps more than ever, a refugee migration. And we are ill prepared to deal with that. While some are actually stopping buses from entering their communities with these refugees, screaming for the, quote, illegal immigrants to go home, others are seeing the situation with more compassion. There is a moral dilemma involved with this situation, with some people now seeing things a bit differently since children fleeing for their own safety are involved. Granted, solutions are not easy given our current immigration policies. But when we put into an historical perspective the migration to our land of opportunity, I wonder if there isn't a better solution and approach than to simply scream, "Go home." So I wonder, in all seriousness, what would Jesus do? Well, I'm not entirely sure, but I know he would have compassion. And I believe that we are all called to have compassion as well. And speaking of Jesus, I find it remarkable how similar those inviting and comforting words on the Statue of Liberty seem to be to those of Jesus in today's gospel reading from Matthew 11. Jesus offers the crowd that which has been called the Great Invitation. "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Notice how similar that message is. Again, historically, most of the people who have migrated to this country have suffered under the burden of one kind of oppression or another in their homeland. And in Jesus' day, the Jews suffered under the oppression as well, as did Christians in Matthew's day. But in the context of this passage, Jesus wasn't referring to the oppression of the Roman Empire. Rather, he was pointing directly to the burden put on the people by their own religious authorities, the scribes and the Pharisees. So this great invitation for the weary and burdened to come to Jesus to find rest, like so many other great one-liners from the Bible, has often been taken out of context and somewhat misinterpreted through the ages. So when we examine within the entire understanding of the Gospel of Matthew, we see that the invitation is issued not to those burdened by work, by sin, or even by life in general. Rather, it was an invitation extended to those burdened by trying to keep all the religious laws. The scribes and Pharisees had laid an intolerable load on their shoulders. Therefore, the type of rest that Jesus refers to isn't for those burdened by their jobs or their careers or finances, or those made weary by their family or relationships, or by those burdened by their vices or addictions, or even those who've just had a rough and tiring day. It's not that God doesn't help in these types of burdensome situations. It's just that the rest that Jesus refers to in this passage is for those who have been burdened by trying to earn God's favor and blessing by attempting to be perfect in fulfilling the religious law. How hard it continues to be for so many people, especially us perfectionists, to realize that there is nothing that we can do to earn God's love. We already have it. We always did, and we always will. And that is what Jesus came to teach us about. The radical grace of God. That's what this passage is about. Now, rabbis in Jesus' day often referred to the law of God as a yoke and a burden. And they promoted meticulous attention to following the law of God and supplied detailed information and explanations of how the law of God could be kept. But keeping the law perfectly, however, then and now, was and is an impossible burden. Yet the Pharisees insisted on a rigid adherence to the law for people to win the favor and blessing of God. Their goodness, their righteous deeds would achieve great blessing, and they would be assured good health and prosperity. And if they didn't, they would be punished by God and risk losing God's blessing. Haven't you noticed that such teachers of this perspective have never been in short supply throughout time? They fill the airwaves today, TV screens, and many pulpits with this erroneous, legalistic code of behavior, followed by either impending punishment or the reward of gained prosperity. The prosperity gospel. But like the Pharisees, this approach to a life of faith lacks the very essence of the gospel message itself, the grace of God. And that is where Jesus' teaching comes into play. Jesus promises rest for those who are burdened by trying to earn God's favor, by strictly following religious laws and set rules of behavior. But we must remember, and this is the hard part, that Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. What he offers then is not a vacation from the law, but rather a less burdensome way of fulfilling it. So Jesus states, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Presbyterian preacher, seminary professor, and biblical commentator Tom Long expresses it this way. What Jesus offers is not a hammock, but a yoke. In Judaism, the yoke was a symbol of obedience to the law and wisdom of God. And likewise, Jesus' yoke is obedience to the commandments of the kingdom of heaven, a willingness to serve others with humility and mercy and to love others as ourself. That's a different set of laws. Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden light, not because there is little to do or the way is safely paved. To the contrary, as the Bible reminds us, there is a cross to carry, and the world is filled with wolves ready to attack. The yoke of Jesus is easy and his burden is light instead because it is simply the way of God. And it is profoundly satisfying then to our human soul. So to come to Jesus is to be taught gentleness and humility, and it is to join with Jesus himself in serving the world in God's name. Or in other words, Jesus shifts the entire emphasis by stating the weightier matters of the law are justice and mercy and faithfulness and love. Jesus teaches us, and we don't use these words here too often, that our salvation, our redemption, our favor and being made right with God, or whatever else you want to call it, is not based on our words, our works, or even our beliefs, but rather only on God's love and grace. That's the radical part. It is that knowledge, then, that makes our burden light, not that our lives will become easy or trouble-free. And Jesus spoke to people desperately trying to find God and desperately trying to be good, but who were finding the task impossible and therefore were driven to weariness and despair. And if you find yourself in that same position, then remember these words of Jesus. "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." And remind yourselves of those words again during this Independence Day weekend, as we also recall the words, "Give me your tired, your poor, and your huddled masses yearning to be free." May it be so. Amen.
Please rise in body or spirit and join me in the prayer for freedom. God of mercy and hope, in the struggle for freedom, grant us strength. In decisions about freedom, grant us wisdom. In the practice of freedom, grant us guidance. In the dangers of freedom, grant us protection. In the life of freedom, grant us joy. And in the use of freedom, grant us vision for your name's sake. Amen.
Amen.